This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It is time for The Fantasy Show, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Oh, baby, it is week 11. It is the week before American Thanksgiving. And there is a lot of news Sunday morning. Important injury and maybe will play, maybe won't play reports. We will take you through each and every game on the Sunday and Monday slate with our fantasy football start sits. Get you ready. As Show, it's like when you hit that U.S. Thanksgiving in real life football and in fantasy football, everything's real. Like everything is like, all right, you are, the playoffs are approaching. Every game counts that much more.
I want to say in fantasy football, at the very least, there are including today's slate of games. And I would say there's pretty much a fantastic game in every time slot starting at 1 p.m. Eastern all the way through to the Sunday nighter and the Monday nighter. Actually, I'm excited to watch that one, too. Giants Bucks. But when you get to American Thanksgiving, you're right. It definitely, you look at your watch and you're like, oh, boy, the playoffs are fast approaching. Right. I mean, yeah. The playoffs, I want to say in most leagues, weeks 15, it's like week 15, 14, 15, depending on your league settings. Week 14, 15 is kind of when the playoffs have arrived, essentially, right? And it's week 11. That essentially means there's less than a month left of fantasy football. It might be slightly different this year because of the extra week in the season. So
the extra game.
Yeah, so week 17 would usually be that corner, like that week that no one wants to play because guys rest and stuff. But now this year, week 17 will probably be championship weekend. And week 18, which I got to imagine is some, like maybe the first or second week of January. But that's the week you don't want to be playing in. But yeah, I mean, given that we're in week 11, the playoffs are fast approaching, Andy.
It's an extra week of fantasy football.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. It's tremendous. What we're looking at as far as injury news or, I guess, availability news right off the top, Show, Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting, Lamar Jackson, a true 50-50 chance as to whether he will play or not. He's appeared on the injury report twice with a non-COVID-related sickness. He's already had COVID twice, so you'd think the immune system would be catching on to that one. But there's two. It's not COVID. It's something. And he has a 50-50 chance to play. We apparently should know by 11:30 a.m. Eastern at the latest today. And that obviously changes. Maybe, Show, if I'm looking at it, like, I think you could throw in the Green Bay Packers, of course, the Chiefs. There's a hand, you know, Tampa Bay. There's a handful of teams. But maybe it changes an offense and fantasy strategy the most if Lamar Jackson is out.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you're still going to probably start Marquise Brown no matter what, just because he is the de facto number one receiver in, he's out, isn't he? He's out.
I was going to say, yeah. Guess what, Joe?
Yeah.
He's out.
Yeah, he is out. I remember, I was like, wait a minute. As I'm saying it, I'm like, those words sound so foreign. I think he is out. Yeah.
He has a thigh injury.
So if Brown is out, and I think, I want to say Rashad Bateman so if Brown is out, you're starting Rashad Bateman no matter what. But if Marquise Brown had played, I would have probably said maybe you don't start Bateman. But Bateman was on the injury report too, I believe.
He is. He is not on it currently. He has been removed from it. It was an illness as well, which apparently was also not COVID related.
Don't want to be in that locker room.
No. And here's the thing, Show. I did a little, research as professional broadcasters we tend to do.
Good job.
Now, if Lamar Jackson is out, you go to Tyler Huntley. And when we were chatting on Friday on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, we're having a little laugh about the Detroit backup quarterback situation. What's his name?
Boyle. Actually, Tim Boyle.
Remember. Boyle. Yeah. Boyle. Yeah. Boyle, who had 12 touchdowns, 26 interceptions in college when you're supposed to be good and somehow, some way, has become an NFL quarterback. Well, the Baltimore Ravens backup is Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley, who has played, he was undrafted. This is his second year in the league, and he has attempted a total of 16 passes for 8 completions, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and has run for a total of 33 yards. So that's what you're looking at quarterback if Lamar Jackson doesn't play.
So what you're saying is don't be running to the waiver wire to snatch up Tyler Huntley if you're a Lamar Jackson owner and you're like in a 2 QB league or something like that. That's what you're saying.
Well, You know what, Joe? I will definitely say that. However, doesn't the fact that Mike White, the self-proclaimed first overall pick, Mike White for the New York Jets, did come in at some point this year out of nowhere with a 400-plus yard passing game? Can we really, truly count anybody out once Mike White? I think we have to call it like pulling a mic or something, or a white. I don't know. Something where it's like it's coming out of nowhere.
It's true. I think the thing that I've noticed the most about this season, I don't know if you agree on this, Andy, but if you look back, not just over the last couple of weeks, though I do think it's been more pronounced over the last couple of weeks, but first of all, and we've talked about this before, just even just off the air, just us chatting about it, but the simple, I feel like it's almost like a, if you drafted basically anyone whose names are not, and I guess Derrick Henry would have been included in this until he got injured, but if you drafted anyone whose name is not Travis Kelce, Jonathan Taylor, and I guess Najee Harris, let's say in the top two rounds, literally every single one of your players has probably had several bad games, like more than you would imagine, if either because they have underperformed because of injuries to themselves or to other parts of their team, like to the quarterback or to other running backs, the offensive line, whatever factor you want to point to as the cause for underperforming. Like it essentially has afflicted literally everyone outside of Jonathan Taylor, Najee Harris, right, and Travis Kelce. And even those guys have not been immune, right? It took Jonathan Taylor maybe like he was fine in the first half of the season, and now he's really blowing up. Najee Harris, I would say, has been pretty consistent overall. I mean, he gets a lot of work in the passing game. And certainly Travis Kelce, and even he's had a couple duds, right? So it's been a strange fantasy season. Like, I don't know if it's because of, like, the NFL has unprecedented parity for the first time ever. Like, how many times whenever we talk about the NFL and anyone thinks about the NFL and you're like, who's the best team in the AFC or who's the best team in the NFC? You could probably answer that question differently on a week-to-week basis the way things have been going. So that's fun for, like, any given Sunday type football, but for fantasy football purposes, it makes things quite volatile on a week-to-week basis, it seems.
Oh, it really does. And what I'm looking at, and this is something you guys want to be tracking, because to me, if Lamar Jackson does not play, I think you automatically bump up the value of Devonta Freeman and maybe Latavius Murray, who is questionable to play as well. I would think, Show, that if you have a Tyler Huntley in, the Ravens who are playing the Bears, who overall have, I guess, shown some sort of life, but they're not scaring anybody, you'd want to try. What do we talk about with the young quarterbacks all the time? You want to hand the football off. You want to make those short, safe completions. I think Devonta Freeman's value shoots up substantially if Jackson doesn't play. If he does play and Latavius Murray maybe comes back, then you downgrade him. Like it's really a in or out of the lineup based on the quarterback for Devonta Freeman to me.
Yeah, you know, that's fair. I think that's totally fair. And I think too, like, there is a real chance that Lamar Jackson plays, and if he is sick, maybe he just hands the ball off a little more instead of running it himself anyways, right? That's also a potential factor. But it's true. I do really like Devonta Freeman. Like, either way, I kind of think I like Freeman as a play today, especially if Murray doesn't play, because they have shown a propensity to hand the ball off to Freeman. Again, not a lot, I'm saying, right? You are getting limited carries no matter who is back there because of Lamar Jackson. But if he is sick, I wonder if that changes a little bit. I also am afraid, because I know some people might think to themselves, well, if he's sick, do I want to play him even if he is active? I feel like with Lamar Jackson, Andy, he's so good, you have to start him if he plays, which is kind of unfortunate because sometimes you get burned by that. But it's funny because I feel like if Lamar Jackson plays and it turns out like he had the flu or, you know, he had a bad cold or I don't know, he had food poisoning or something, right? And he plays really well, I guarantee you people on Twitter will be tweeting things like, it's Lamar Jackson's flu game, like Michael Jordan's flu game. It's like, well, I promise you that'll happen. So I'm just prepping you for that idea now as a Browns fan, because if the Ravens do pull out a win with a sick Lamar Jackson at quarterback, I promise you it'll come out on social media.
Oh, tremendous. Tremendous news. That's great. That's great. Let's continue with the injury talk here. Show 1 hour ago, coming out from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, Aaron Rodgers will play today, he says, but the toe injury is a real and concerning injury. Rodgers will likely have to deal with it for the remainder of the season. Oof. So a painful toe injury for Aaron Rodgers kept him to about 15 reps in practice this week. So we know with Rodgers, while not being a, quote, running quarterback, certainly uses his mobility to escape pressure, create plays, wait for those lanes to open. So that could be significant.
Yeah, the new Sons of Anarchy version of Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, like the sunglasses and the long greasy hair. It's just you know, it's not ungood, I'd say. But yeah, it's true. I think Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I think you're, again, much like Lamar Jackson. I feel like you kind of have to start Aaron Rodgers, right? I know he's had a down year so far. Or a more down year compared to the last season when he, I believe, won the NFL MVP award, right? So I think you definitely want to start him against the Vikings. I like the start for him, but I do have a feeling if a toe injury, if that's the case, you might see a lot of a heavy dose of A.J. Dillon today.
Well, yeah, A.J. Dillon has come on actually pretty nice, much to the chagrin of Aaron Jones owners, of which
like you?
I am one, and Aaron Jones is out.
Do you have
mild
Dylan?
MCL sprain.
Do you have
I do
Dylan?
Not have Dylan.
Oh, okay.
I do not have Dylan show. No, no. I don't have Dylan, which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate for me, but hopefully one of you guys listening up there do have Dylan, while Aaron Jones has a mild MCL sprain, which is not the news you want to hear in November, because that's one of those weird ones where the MCL could be a couple weeks, could be rest of the season. Like, it really depends what that type of situation means. So, very difficult. As we know, my poor Baker Mayfield show, they said, God, add a bruised heel and a bone bruise in his knee to a previously torn left labrum and bone chip. Just like, Baker, it's the Lions. Have a seat. Take a seat. Let Case Keenum, if you have the highest paid quarterback, one of the highest paid backup quarterbacks in all the NFL in Case Keenum, and you don't feel he gives you a better chance to win than a just glued together Baker Mayfield at home against the Detroit Lions, I don't know. I don't know why you have Case Keenum on the on your team show. I don't know.
Andy, can I just say real quick that going back to week 10, ooh, baby, ooh, that Browns-Patriots game, that was nice. I got to say, the Browns scored the first touchdown of that game. It was 7-0 Cleveland after the first, like, 5 minutes of that game, and I thought, okay, here we go. And that game ended 45-7. Makes it all the more hilarious. That was, ooh, I gotta say, I was waiting until after halftime to text you. Or I was gonna wait until after the game to text you, and then I thought to myself, at halftime, I'm like, I can't wait anymore. I can't wait anymore. I need to send a message to Andy.
Oh, I don't think I responded to you for like 3 days after. I think I just left it unread. Man, like, I just think the Browns really should be resting Baker, because you have, like, show. What do you feel are the more important slate of games for the Browns in a super tight division, especially if the Ravens lose today without Lamar Jackson to Chicago, which makes that AFC North, which is almost sort of giving me a little bit, not nearly to the extreme was, but sort of NFC East vibes from a year ago, where it's like, does anybody really want to win this thing, this division? Like, it's not going so well. You have the Lions, then you play the Ravens, then you have a bye, then you play the Ravens again. I would want Baker, I would think, at his best versus Baltimore, and give him the day off against Detroit.
Yeah, well, especially because we know, I mean, like you just said with Mike White, you don't want to overlook anyone in the NFL at this, especially this weird season that we're in, topsy-turvy, parody, everything season, right, in 2021. But, I mean, you know, Tim Boyle is starting, and the Browns have a pretty decent defense, right? Like, I know they had a down week last week. Sure, but I mean, by and large, they have been very good all season. Like, the Browns are an up and down team, but they also beat the Cincinnati Bengals, what, like 41-17 or something like that. So
yeah,
it's not as though they're like a completely awful defense. It's just they had a bad week. It happens. But I mean, I don't know. Like, you're telling me that you'd rather you'd rather risk more injury for Baker Mayfield. I'm sure all of these injuries have relatively high risks of re-injury, right? So you're telling me that you'd rather risk that against, like, Tim Boyle and the Detroit Lions? I know the Lions actually, like, all things considered, haven't been an easy out, right? I mean, they didn't lose last week. I'll say that much, right? They didn't lose.
They did not lose.
No. They didn't win either. So, you know, at least 0-17 is, like, off the table at the very least, right? So that's always good. But still, I mean, they've not been an easy out. But still, I mean, you would expect the Cleveland defense, no matter what, to be able to take care of Tim Boyle. So, I mean, Case Keenum isn't terrible. I mean, he's a backup QB for a reason. But the guy also authored one of the more memorable playoff wins, I think, of our lifetimes when it comes to the Minneapolis Miracle. So, I mean, he could probably get the job done against Detroit, I would imagine.
And he won a game for you this year. I was at that game versus Denver.
That's
in
right.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right? He came in. That's what a backup quarterback is supposed to do. Come in, win your ball game. Now, to talk about your Patriots, oh boy, like show. Now, I'm, you know, no one's lauding too much praise as far as like, ooh, you beat the Falcons, but you shut out an NFL team with still a good to at times potentially very good quarterback in Matt Ryan. Now, they were shorthanded, et cetera, et cetera. But man, like the Patriots now have very quietly, and people laugh at, ha ha, Bill Belichick, oh, it was all Brady. Bill Belichick had one bad year, folks. He had one, and now he's back with a quarterback who Tom, hey, this is what Mac Jones has over Tom Brady show. Tom Brady never played as a rookie.
That's true.
He has more wins. Mac Jones has more wins than Tom Brady as a rookie.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Brady played what? Like, you think he came in to start like one game or something at the end of the year, something like that, right? He certainly didn't play a whole lot as a rookie, right?
No.
I mean, whereas Mac Jones started right out of the gate, and here we are, right? No, it's true. Mac Jones has looked, I'm not going to say very good by any means, right? He's looked decent, and I think as they let him throw the ball more, maybe someday, fantasy-wise, he'll become a more fantasy-viable option, maybe. But and again, this year, I'm sure he'll have flashes like he did, for example, against the Browns. That would have been a good time to start him. And I know some people did, so, you know, good for you. But I think, you know, by and large, the Patriots team, they run via the, like we talked about in the offseason, right? They run via the tight ends, and they run via the running game, right? I mean, the stable of running backs back there does make it hard to trust even Damian Harris at times, but I think he's still, you know, if you have him on a cheap keeper value, I think you keep him. And, you know, Ramondre Stevenson is probably worth a keeper as well, depending on how the season ends. I do want to say this, Andy. People are texting us their questions for the People's Text Line, right? We're going to do that in about 45 minutes. And again, you can text us at 590-590. And again, if we don't get to your question on the air, we will try to get to as many as humanly possible. But if we don't get them on the air, I'm going to call Andy after the show is over, and we will answer every single one of your questions before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. So
great, people.
At any point, text us your fantasy questions, 590-590, or you can get us on Twitter at SNS Ali with two L's for me, at AndyMC81 for Andy, and of course, at Fan590. But I also wanted to mention, Andy, you like to say when the Browns win, so do you, right? And look, the Browns,
they
didn't win last week. Let's put it that way. But gently, they didn't win. And the Patriots, actually, since we last spoke, have actually played two games. And you mentioned it, the shutout win over the Falcons. So I, out of my own pocket, am going to give away some Domino's pizza.
What?
I'm going to be giving away some Domino's pizza out of my own pocket to celebrate the Patriots' two straight wins. Yeah. Well, All you have to do is text us the answer to this question. I'll reiterate it at 9 o'clock, but all you have to do is tell me on the text line, in both of the Patriots wins, actually the same receiver led the team in receiving yards in both the win over the Browns and both the win over the Falcons. Who is that receiver? Text me at 590-590 and you will win a Domino's pizza voucher.
Boy. Well, that stamp is on you, show. That's your envelope. I'm not covering it.
It's true. Yeah, and look, Andy sits on these Domino's vouchers like Smaug. Like, you know, like in the Lonely Mountain, Andy, like Andy's like Smaug the Dragon. I'm like Bilbo creeping in to steal away a pizza voucher just for you, the listener.
Oh, man. If it was up to me, none of you began pizza today because the Browns lost. Jeez. All right. Well, that's fine. Well done. You can do that. Some other notes off the top here. James Robinson listed as questionable with the heel and knee injuries, is expected to play. Jamal Williams for the Lions has been out since week 7 with a thigh injury, is also expected to play. And I'll say this, people, and we'll get to it more in the Browns game. Dan Campbell is going like 1950s style football where it's like, oh, the forward pass, what a radical idea. And like people are doing the Charleston wearing like fedoras and stuff like that.
It.
And it's like, I don't know about that forward pass thing, show a little risky, rather run the ball 80 times. Dan Campbell is just like, screw it, I'm going to run the ball all the time, and that's it. So you could see like 3 passes from Tim Boyle, and they will just try to grind this thing out. They ran for over 200 combined yards last week. So Jamal Williams could be a play. DeAndre Swift, absolutely. I don't think so. If they're not a running back, you do not play them for the Detroit Lions. Hawkinson got me a 0.
Yeah.
Last week. A 0. I had to go pick up Cole Kmet off of waivers. Cole Kmet. That's my guy this week. That's what I had to do. That's my reality, people.
He might actually, you know what? Cole Kmet might actually be a decent sleeper this week, right?
I hope so.
The Ravens have been, they've been fine through the air, but they've gotten a little better, but they started the year off pretty poorly through the air. And Justin Fields seems to look his way a decent amount. I mean, look, put it this way, Andy. The bar is so low for a tight end one finish that you could get, like, three catches for 50 yards out of Kmet, and that's a tight end one finish, basically.
That's...
Right.
That's it. Also, Kyler Murray, another game time decision on that ankle. Cardinals have the bye next week. I think if they're smart, they sit him. Colt McCoy left the game last week with a pectoral injury. And Chris Streveler, former CFL quarterback, I've interviewed him. I coined him Stone Cold Chris Streveler because he just comes. He doesn't care. Like you see, and I haven't seen his NFL style, but coming on to the CFL. Marches on the field, gave me a little Stone Cold vibe. Doesn't care. He's just reckless abandon, throwing his body around, diving, throwing, running. It could be Stone Cold Chris Streveler Day.
That is a Winnipeg Blue Bombers Grey Cup champion, Chris Streveler. Yeah. Grey Cup champion. He won the Grey Cup in 2019.
There you go. Chris Streveler, now a third stringer with the Arizona Cardinals, who may get a chance to play today. DeAndre Hopkins also out. So just like loads of, I wonder show how this will be, and then we'll get to over under before we break, but I wonder how the NFL, if at all, or Players Association will view the offseason program, because the whole point with we're going to cut off a preseason game, we're not going to have that, we're going to cut down practices and it'll avoid injuries, there are as many if not more just variety of injuries in the NFL this year. Like it seems like, I know it makes common sense, we're like, hey, if you get hit less playing football, you'll get injured less times. I understand, but it seems for whatever reason, it's having the opposite effect.
Well, and I'm sure we'll see, I mean, not a whole ton more, but I mean, an extra game too, right? That was always the worry, right? That with the more football being played, you'd see more injuries. And it certainly seems like that's probably going to be the unfortunate case. And the other thing too is just the way the offseason now unfolds far less. Not only do you, you know, you play less football before, you know, in the preseason, but you're also having less like in pad practices. Right. So, and I mean, again, I think that's probably good, but it also means that players take a little longer to get up to speed because they just don't have the reps in the offseason. Right. So that happens sometimes. So it's true. All of those factors, the ones you mentioned, the ones I just mentioned, I think have resulted in like kind of a loopy fantasy year. And then you add on COVID on top of that, basically.
Jeez. Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, we're going to get our fantasy football start sits for every game this week. But first, you want to do a little over-under?
Yeah, let's do a couple questions. Why not?
Okay, let's go.
I like it. There we go. All right, so Andy, I just in case people are unfamiliar, the way this game works, we'll only do a couple here, I'm going to ask Andy a question, a fantasy football-related question dating back to week 10, and then he's going to give me an answer on whether he thinks it was over or under a certain amount of points, right? Everyone knows over-unders. And when he gets it correct, you will hear this fantastic noise.
Sounds like a Bond movie. Like, I am the villain. Tent pulls off the mask.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
Original soundtrack too by the Sportsnet Orchestra.
Sportsnet Orchestra was working overtime this week. You said the last ones from last week were a little generic, so I figure we have a new one. And then when Andy is incorrect, you'll hear this one. Oh, lots of trumpets and brass, you know. Anyways, all right, let's get into it, Andy. Okay. Here's the first question for you. All right, this is actually a more of a general one. I know I usually ask you an individual question, but a more general one this week. In week 10, I want you to give me the total number of quarterbacks who had more than 20 fantasy points. Okay, the total number of quarterbacks in week 10 who had more than 20 fantasy points. I'm going to set the over-under at 5.5, okay?
5.5?
Yeah.
I'll take the over, but I think it might be like 6.
Yeah. It was actually a shockingly small amount of quarterbacks that had more than 20 fantasy points in Week 10. 3 quarterbacks had more than 20 points. Mahomes had 36.24. Yeah, Dak Prescott, 26.34, and Josh Allen had 21.94. The fourth quarterback, okay, who was just on the cusp, was Trevor Siemian, who had 19.92. So not a good week for quarterbacks in Week 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it was a weird week. It was a very strange week around. Jeez. We'll see about this. We'll see about this weekend, I guess.
I know we got a boogie, so I'll do one more, okay? And I do want to talk about this situation with you. So we'll talk about this here real quick. Eagles running back Boston Scott. Over under 10 points for Eagles running back Boston Scott.
Oh, what a mess that backfield is. Jordan Howard, Gainwell, Sanders at some point, Scott, Hurts running around. I'll say under. Oh.
Yeah, he shockingly had more than 10 points. He actually had you were very close, though. He had 11.5 points last week. But here's the thing. Miles Sanders, and I'm seeing a lot of Miles Sanders questions on the text line, so we'll get to it more when we do Saints-Eagles in a second. But Miles Sanders being activated, I mean, I don't know about you, I want no part of that Eagles backfield, Andy.
No.
Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Jordan Howard, I want none. If you start any one of those guys against a very good rush defense against the New Orleans Saints, you're essentially hurling stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Well, especially since the Eagles coaching staff said that Jordan Howard, they want him a part of this running back committee in a big way, even when Sanders comes back.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jalen Hurts runs a lot. So, yeah, just absolute poison. Like, you see the little, like, crossbones on, like, the ball. It's like, oh, gotta stay away from that one. Yeah. That's what you put on the Eagles' backfield. Yeah. Wow. All right. Good stuff. That's over under, folks. We will step aside, come back, and begin taking you through fantasy football start sits for every single game on the Week 11 NFL slate. This is the Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Fantasy Show, fantasy football starts, sits for every single game on the Week 11 slate. Remember, on the bye, you got the Denver Broncos and the LA Rams. So some significant firepower, primarily from the Rams, on the bench. I'm Andy McNamara. That's Shaw Ali. Get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSAli, at The Fantasy Show. You can text in to the People's text line, 590-590. Name and location, please. All right, Shaw, let's get things rolling here. Saints versus Eagles. And the Saints offense, which is already just totally... I find it unlikable, Show. It's not that there's a personality or character I dislike. I just am so mad because of how good and reliable the Saints offense has been for so long. Now it's garbage. There's nothing there. There's Alvin Kamara's out. To me, you got Mark Ingram, Trevor Siemian's throwing for less than two medium steps forward length per pass. Not even large. You don't have to hop, Show. Just take like an okay step, and you've thrown as far as Trevor Siemian does on average for each pass. I would say this, though. Deontay Harris, he's kind of changing my mind a little bit. I'm like, okay, despite the bad quarterback play, in PPR, I've seen three straight weeks where I'm getting 12.75, 16.25, 15.7 fantasy points, and that's with no receiving touchdowns. That's becoming usable for me, and I wonder how you feel about that one, because that's sort of lining up to a nice little flex spot.
Yeah, you know what? I almost would say, and again, Mark Ingram, before we move on from the running backs, Mark Ingram with no Alvin Kamara, I think you have to start Mark Ingram, because we saw what he did when Kamara was out. Also, by the way, he's wearing a new jersey number, which confused the hell out of me last week when I was like, oh, that guy scored. Damn, I started Mark Ingram. And I'm like, oh, wait, that is Mark Ingram.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, that confused the heck out of me. But either way, you started Mark Ingram. All of the wide receivers, so Marquez Callaway and Deontay Harris have been seeing a decent amount of targets. Like, Callaway is getting five targets a game, averaging five targets a game since Trevor Siemian took over as the starting quarterback in New Orleans. And I don't mind the Deontay Harris. He is like the deep threat guy that role used to belong to other guys. But certainly Deontay Harris has been pretty nice. And I think also in case you're worried about the boomer bust potential for Harris, now I'm not saying he's like a WR1 by any means. But the Eagles have allowed the fifth most 40 or more yard passing plays to wide receivers. So I think that would, I think, in some way probably play into Deontay Harris's hands just because he is the speedster on this offense. So I don't mind the Harris play. And you know who else has become oddly relevant since the quarterback change has happened, Andy, is our guy, Adam Troutman. The Troutman. He is shockingly 6 targets a game since Simeon took over the offense. And again, I'm sure a lot of that has to do with his average depth of target, which, like you said, is very shallow, let's say, right? So again, in a pinch, you could probably start some of these guys. Like if you were a Noah Fant or a Tyler Higbee owner, maybe you want to start Adam Troutman if you want to. But again, it's not going to be the most consistent of plays. But I mean, since Simeon has come into this offense, we have seen a lot less of Taysom Hill than I probably would have guessed, I got to say.
Oh, yeah. It's like now you hold out Taysom Hill. Thanks. Thanks. God, Sean Payton just hate. Sean, folks, remember this. I think this should be a shirt. Sean Payton hates your fantasy team. He hates it.
It's true.
He hates all of us, and he hates your fantasy. Personally, he hates your fantasy team.
Yep.
The Troutman has gotten, 7 targets, 6 targets the last 2 games, 6 the week before that, and the Eagles have given up the most fantasy points to tight ends this season. So, you know, not the worst play. He certainly hasn't put up the yardage or touchdowns to be a star, but as you said before, show, you don't got to do that much to be a TE1 in the NFL.
You do not.
Right? Yeah, that's just how it is.
If you score 10 points as a tight end in any given week, you are probably a top 5 finisher, I'm guessing.
For real. Like, that's, we're not being like, ha ha ha, that's a joke. No, that's reality. That's true. what is also true, show, is Devonta Smith is a freaking stud for the Eagles. Really, there's no other receiver you want to touch. Goddard, if he's healthy, you're putting him, of course, in at tight end. But Devonta Smith and Jalen Hurts, it's like Jalen Hurts is playing college-style football, where it's like, where's my best receiver? And he's getting the ball or I'm running, and that's the only options that are happening today. 3 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. 66 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. 116 yards and a score the week before. And we're not talking, show, like he's getting 12 catches here. 5 and 4 catches. So he's a bit touchdown-dependent, sure, but he's getting enough volume, and he's scoring. Like, I think Devontae Smith is a terrific, certainly high-end WR3 play and definitely a WR2 option against the New Orleans club that's given up the 5th most fantasy points to wide receivers.
Yeah, right. I mean, Devontae Smith had, so like you said, you mentioned the stats, 9 catches, 182 yards, and 3 touchdowns against Denver and the Chargers, right, L.A., and those two teams are, you know, they're like respectable teams when it comes to the pass, right? And he still did those things. So I know some people might be worried about the Marshawn Lattimore coverage. And I mean, there's almost no doubt that Lattimore is going to be taking on Devontae Smith, the rookie. But again, I'm sure it'll limit his chances. I believe it will. But at the same time, I feel like you have to start Devontae Smith. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you do.
I think he may not be an every week start, but I think he is right on the cusp, because against the way he has played, it's just you kind of have to get him in your lineup, especially if you're like a Jerry Jeudy owner or if you're a Cooper Kupp owner on a week where those guys are on bye weeks, right? So, but I agree. And also Dallas Goedert, I'm not super worried about him. He had the concussion. He's out of the concussion protocol. He will play today. And I believe, it's been a weird couple of weeks, because 2 weeks ago, he was just getting, he got all the targets you want to see out of a tight end and was just getting missed, essentially, right? Like, Hurts was throwing him the ball. It was just, you know, going over his head or out of bounds or what have you. And then last week, he got the concussion relatively early on, and he was still getting looks, like, very, very early on in that game. So, again, we'll have to see how things go against the Saints defense. They're a pretty stingy group, all things considered. But still, I think outside of those two, like, you're not exactly starting, like, Quez Watkins here.
No, and obviously in head-to-head, you're going Jalen Hurts as the fantasy option over Trevor Siemian. The next 3 weeks, actually, before the bye, Jalen Hurts is going to be a good fantasy play. You got the Saints today, the Giants, and the Jets.
Ooh.
That's a nice little runway up to a bye week there. That's not too bad at all. All right, let's go on to the next one here. We have, speaking of the Jets, this is the one, if you can miss a game, this is the one you go out and, I don't know, rake leaves or something today. Miami Dolphins versus the New York Jets. Blah! That's your That's your throw-up game show. That's the one they put on in, like, prisons where, like, you get a game. They're like, yay, like, Dolphins, Jets, ha, add to your punishment. No.
See, I would say the game that is on in prisons today is Lions, Browns.
Then put me behind bars, show. I'm watching it anyway. Yes. Dolphins, Jets, though. Oh, man. Joe Flacco's back. Super Bowl champ.
Let's go.
Joe Flacco. Who's with me? Huh?
Mr. Yeah, Elite, Mr. Elite Joe Flacco. Can't spell elite without Joe Flacco. I think no, you can't. Yes, you can. You can't spell it without.
I think there's an E in there.
Is that it? I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Oh, there's an L too. There's an L in Flacco as well.
There's an L in Flacco. So you got two letters. That's better than some. This is terrible. Not to say Mike White was exciting after his 4 interception game, or Zach Wilson's slender shoulders trying to carry the load of that Jets team. He's not back yet. I was getting questions. Oh, does this mean good things for Corey Davis? I'm like, I don't think anything is good news for Corey Davis, or really anything on this Jets team. I still think you can play Michael Carter depending on how your lineup looks. Like, if things are right, like that week or two under Mike White, like, I really liked Michael Carter and Ty Johnson. Like, they were both putting up points. Like, I really liked those.
Yeah.
Them both in the short passing and running game, but I don't know if we can trust that with Joe Flacco at all. I'm not quite sure what to make of it. I think, as a rule this week and probably most weeks, you try to avoid as many Jets as possible.
Yeah, I think here are the two Jets I would feel okay starting if they're like your RB3, WR3. Okay, these are the two guys. It's Michael Carter because, at least, and again, it could change with Flacco, but he got 16 carries last week in a blowout. Mm-hmm. So that means, I think that essentially means that backfield is largely his. Ty Johnson, like you said, had popped in a couple of weeks straight, especially against the Colts and whoever the Jets played before that. But still, I think Michael Carter is used enough, and I think they recognize that he is probably their most talented offensive weapon. So I don't mind starting him as a flex play, for example. And similarly, Elijah Moore, he's actually posted in full PPR formats, right? He has posted double-digit fantasy points in the last 4 straight games. And in the last 2 games, he has 3 touchdowns, which is actually kind of surprising, honestly. I mean, he's taken a while to get going. I'm not entirely sure this is the start of something for him, but I think when Flacco came in at the end of the blowout against the Bills last week, I think one of the few touchdowns the Jets did score was to Elijah Moore at the end of that game. So I think there is at least a little bit of a connection with Flacco and Moore. So if you want to start him as your, again, maybe in full PPR, half PPR might be even a little too dicey, but in one of these PPR formats, I think you can probably get away with starting Elijah Moore, but as nothing more than a flex play, I'd say.
I'm almost thinking, show like Jamison Crowder, and I'm with you. I love the Elijah Moore, how he's come on, but I don't know, veteran to veteran more. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we saw Jamison Crowder pop up.
Sure,
today.
Also possible. Yeah.
But again, do I want to put him in my fantasy lineup? I don't. Like, as a draft, if I'm doing a few DraftKings contests, do I maybe throw Elijah Moore in one as a cheap option, Jamison Crowder in another one for DF? Like, yeah, I guess. One of those like 25-cent games or something like that, I suppose. Why not? But yeah, it's bad. For the Dolphins, this could be a bit of a get-right game for Miami, who's really been off this whole year. Tua's practicing in full. I think it's a Tua, Waddle, Gesicki game, and you can start any or all of them and feel good about it against the Jets.
Yeah, I'm into that. I think Waddle probably would have had a much larger game last week in that upset on Thursday Night Football against the Ravens. I mean, I think he drew a pass interference call in the end zone. And he was stopped short of the goal line a couple times. I know Gesicki had a big fat zero last week, but again, I don't know if I really blame him. That a lot of Jacoby Brissett passes were sailing over his head. Tua was clearly still injured. But again, if he was healthy enough to be the backup and actually come in and play most of the game, the question as to why he wasn't starting that game still baffles me, right? But either way, I do like the Tua specifically, I think, is my favorite play out of this game because the Jets are a hapless, just completely lost in the woods defense. So I'm starting Tua today. And you know what, Andy, maybe because with guys like Darrell Henderson and the two Broncos running backs, Gordon and Javonte on bye, Myles Gaskin, maybe?
Oh, Andy, not for me.
Gaskin. Let's do it.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not touching him. I'm not touching any Miami backfield. Not him, not old cement shoes Patrick Laird, who still, I believe... Joe, I believe old Patty Laird there has moved himself up from the practice squad onto the actual depth chart. He is third on the depth chart ahead of Duke Johnson. Oh, Duke, you got to retire, bro.
I didn't even know Duke was on the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. I'll be completely honest with you.
Fourth string. Here's the running backs. Okay. Gaskin, right. Ahmad, Laird, Tub of Laird, Cement Shoes, and Duke Johnson.
Boy.
We could see all four of them for all we know.
Yeah, I really hope not. Gosh. Miles Gaskin has 100 carries, and he has 344 yards and one rushing touchdown. That's his rush work. That doesn't include his passing game work, which is okay, I guess. It's okay. But, yeah, look, I think as an emergency fill-in on a bye week, you do Gaskin. But if you have any other option, you leave him on the bench, I think.
Including the New York Jets running backs, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next one. We have – I always like when it's like the team is a football team versus Panthers. It's like, you got to – just give me some nickname, something.
They're keeping it, man. I guarantee you. Like, I know Cleveland made the in Major League Baseball made the official switch this past week to Guardians. I bet that Washington they remain the Washington football team going forward. I bet that's what ends up sticking as the official name. I bet
it's like the soccer vibe, right? Like TFC, Toronto Football Club. It's like, what are you, a football club? It says right there in the name. I see. Okay, makes sense. You know, what are you? A football team. Where are you from? Washington. All right. Everything's all right, laid out for me. Yeah. I know what I'm getting with this product. Carolina Panthers, who they're playing. I don't know. That could be any sports show. That could be basketball. That could be hockey. That could be a college. What are we getting with the Panthers? I don't know. I know what I'm getting with Washington, and it's a football team, damn it.
They should just name them the Washington Wildcats so we can just always, every week, play like, the Wildcats. What are we
going to be?
The Wildcats.
Isn't that what the XFL?
Yeah, it was an XFL.
They did have
team.
A Wildcats.
Yeah, they did.
They did have a Wildcats. What a terrible, uncreative name. For something from Vince McMahon's mind, like, were they like the last team? They're like, we need one more name. Like, it is lunchtime, guys. It's 12. We're going to miss this thing. Like, Wildcats, done. Let's go. They just booked it.
The Los Angeles Wildcats. Yeah, there you go.
Gross. Just gross. All right. Also gross is, well, actually kind of both these teams, I guess. Taylor Heinicke has just smashed back to earth. Just, oof, boy. As fun as that start of the season was, it is not there anymore. Antonio Gibson, couple touchdowns last week. That shin injury, which has been iffy all year, it kind of gives me more confidence. Like J.D. McKissic as well as a passing option, I kind of like, but at the same point, we're looking against a stingy Panthers run defense, and McKissic has been so up or down, like really show he is legitimately, without any variant from this, has legitimately alternated between single-digit fantasy output and double-digit fantasy output all season. All season.
So that means he's due, Andy. He's due for a double-digit game.
I think I'm going to, you know what, he's done. If it's a couple time, it's a fluke. If it's over 10 weeks, I think it's a trend.
Here's the thing about McKissic last week too. I would say virtually no one expected the Washington football team to upset the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady and the Bucks. I would say nobody picked that. I feel for you if you picked Tampa Bay in your survivor pool last week, because that would have been a tough one. There are a lot of teams that have had just grisly, hideous losses to much inferior opponents, and that's probably one of them, especially for a team that's considering to compete for a Super Bowl. But because Washington did win that game and were leading for much of that game, right, Andy? I feel like J.D. McKissic got his work siphoned from him, right? Because I feel like his work often, I feel like, comes when Washington is trailing and Antonio Gibson has to get his butt off the field so they have a healthier pass-catching running back in there. And that's when McKissic's value really comes in. Like, when we talk about the Raiders in a little while, it's the same thing for Josh Jacobs, right? Like, Josh Jacobs had a poor week last week, by and large because Patrick Mahomes and the rest of the Chiefs annihilated the Raiders, so they had to get into catch-up mode, essentially, right? So not a lot of running the football and so on. So I feel like that basically happened with J.D. McKissic last week. So I would feel okay. If you feel that this game is going to be closer at the very least, I feel like you can get away with playing him. I mean, averaging seven targets a game, averaging six receptions a game in the past four games. So I don't mind that one, that play again, as a bottom tier flex play. I like that better than anything else. And again, I think you kind of have to start Terry McLaurin in any given week because he's Terry McLaurin, but I don't think you're starting anyone else really from this Washington offense.
No, I'm with you. And then on the other side, the Panthers. And I do expect this game to be close just because both defense, like the Washington defense, while it is really come crashing down, there's still not a pushover. And Carolina's defense is good to potentially very good at times, especially against the run. When you look at Carolina, Cam Newton, what year is this show? He's back in Carolina. I don't know. Like, this is not a long-term fix. Carolina is going to have to figure out their long-term quarterback situation going forward. I wrote about Cam Newton in my Tuesday waiver wire article on sportsnet.ca, and I said this show, that Cam Newton, for this week, okay, because I was in this situation, and I'm practicing what I preach here. I have Matt Stafford on a bye. Okay. I needed a quarterback. So I was like, I came down to these were my choice. I'm like, ooh, do I go on the waiver wire? My best options were Matt Ryan or Cam Newton. I was like, you know what? With the leg option and all that, I'm going to go with Cam Newton. Even if Cam Newton is not good today, as long as he doesn't get hurt, he's going to be better than what Matt Ryan did on Thursday, which was have 0 points and 4.12 fantasy points. I think that's a safe bet. Is that fair?
Yes. Matt Ryan, over the last 2 weeks, Andy, has had, I think, a combined, like, 3 points. In 2 weeks.
He's had actually showed, like, you're not, you know, that far off. He's less than 7 combined fantasy points over 2 weeks.
Good God.
Combined.
That's awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah, that's truly
like,
terrible.
For the Panthers, long term, we know Cam Newton, he shot puts the ball. That shoulder's busted. Like, the shoulder's done. He's had a lot of time off the shoulder. It's over. He's not being able to throw the football. And I always thought Cam was underrated as a pass catcher a passer of the football for a couple of years when he was really in his prime. But those days are done. I could see this being a type of day show where Cam Newton throws for 160, 170 yards, one passing touchdown, and runs in two. And, you know, you're getting yourself nice low fantasy points. And I thought for a bye week fill-in compared to a Matt Ryan option, I'm willing to take the risk. I think for a 1 week streamer, it's there. Anything beyond that, I don't know how interested I'm going to be.
Yeah, I would say a passing touchdown and two rushing touchdowns are like the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's
don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, the throwing motion, I mean, as much as I genuinely really like Cam Newton, I can't wait to see what he does in his career once he's done in playing football. I could see him being a fantastic studio analyst. I think that'd be a lot of fun to watch, and I think he'd be really, really good at it. But as far as playing him today in fantasy football, yeah, I think, like you said, that's what you're hoping for at the best of times. It does essentially mean, I mean, you're going to start Christian McCaffrey no matter what. I feel like he's the kind of guy that doesn't really need a touchdown in order to still put in a very good game, as we've seen over his entire career. So I'm not too worried about McCaffrey. DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson are the guys that are going to be either hurt or helped by this. And because Cam Newton's not exactly going to be chucking the field down the field, with a tremendous degree of accuracy, I feel like it essentially downgrades DJ Moore, unfortunately, to a WR2 until we see things change. And I know Robbie Anderson caught a touchdown last week, but that was from PJ Walker. And it was from Cam Newton, I believe. But either way, it was like a shovel pass right at the goal line, right? It wasn't exactly like he got a laser down the sidelines, right? So
no.
I don't know with Robbie Anderson if we really want to be relying on him too much. So I'm out on Robbie Anderson, and I'm less bullish this week specifically on DJ Moore until we see if Cam's shoulder has healed to any degree. And, you know, unfortunately, it probably hasn't.
No, it hasn't, because he was healthy and rested, and it still looked like garbage, like absolute garbage. I don't want to touch any of the wide receivers. I think it's CMC and Cam Newton, and avoid everybody else if you can.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more before we break. Colts versus Bills. Indy versus Buffalo. And for Buffalo Bills fans, show, this isn't the cupcake walk-away division title that they were anticipating. They're still up technically by, I think, a half game based on win percentage on the New England Patriots at 6-3, Pat 7-4. If you're Buffalo, you got to win this one. And the Colts are a difficult out. The Colts have won their last two. They're 500. They're right in the thick of a wild card race. This is not going to be an easy game for Buffalo. And I think if we start with the Bills, the same story. We're not touching any of the running backs. There is no running game. You're playing Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. The other receivers, like, I keep waiting for Dawson Knox to come back after that hand surgery and be effective. He just hasn't done it yet.
I do like Dawson Knox. I mean, look, last week was his first week back from injury, yeah. right? So I feel like I can give him the pass on that one. And it was a weird game. Devin Singletary was worked into the passing game. I think it was just like they got up so quickly on the Jets, right? I mean, it was tight for a little while, and then they blew up with like three touchdowns in 5 minutes. Like I just feel like it was such a blowout win that I think they kind of ended up just moving away from guys that maybe could have gotten re-injured or something like that. You know what I mean? So I do like Dawson Knox this week against the Colts. Colts aren't great against the tight end, so you could start him if you're in a pinch. And again, like we've said all show, doesn't take all that much to become a TE1, right? So
No. And
we know he does at least have the trust of Josh Allen, so you could feel good about that. I agree with you on Stephon Diggs. Like everyone else, after Diggs is a flex play at best. I would pass on Cole Beasley right now just because, you know.
With Knox back.
Yeah, Knox back, the running game being involved, Josh Allen running it himself every now and again. I would pass on Beasley. Emmanuel Sanders maybe is a flex play. He came back down to earth in a kind of a really tough way the last couple of weeks. So I think you can still get away with playing him, but still, I think you're kind of, it's a little more volatile after Diggs. And then, you know what, the running game, Zach Moss, I think probably like a mid to low tier RB2.
I don't want anything to do with him.
I'm not buying Devin Singletary just yet. I'll say that much.
No, I don't want any Bills running back, to be honest, at all. I think you're playing with fire there.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
If you look at the Colts, this is tough because the pieces the last few weeks have been sensational. Like Michael Pittman is playing man football this year. He's become the WR1, the alpha that we've been waiting for. Jonathan Taylor, unstoppable. So we're going to see the immovable force versus the irresistible object, or whatever the saying is, between the Buffalo Bills defense, which show for fantasy purposes is literally the best. Fewest fantasy points allowed, two running backs, two wide receivers, and the quarterbacks. So something's got to give when these two collide. Like, I would feel like you're playing Jonathan Taylor no matter what. Michael Pittman, I think, could be the one that maybe takes a ding this week out of that one. Maybe,
but you're not,
that's
you're
the
not
one
benching
gets,
Michael Pittman. No one's benching
him. Benching him. No, but I'm just thinking when you look at what you should expect, I wouldn't be surprised. You're going to play him, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing maybe like a 10 fantasy point game, like something underwhelming from what we've been used to.
Yeah, I mean, like last week he had 71 yards on 5 targets/reception. So I mean, like, that's, again, you want a touchdown out of Michael Pittman, but still, I mean, he sees enough of the passing game work that you're going to start him every single week. And but other than that, I mean, Zach Pascal, T.Y. Hilton, Doyle and Allie Cox, I want no part of that. I think it's just, and also I don't really want to start Carson Wentz if I don't have to this week. I know he's played better as of late, but I mean, against the Bills, I think you want to start as few fantasy pieces outside of the studs as humanly possible. And I mean, even Michael Pittman probably going to see a decent amount of coverage from someone like Trey White today, right? So
absolutely.
I think you obviously are going to start Jonathan Taylor, but just on the whole, maybe you temper expectations for this game, which also is, I believe, is a rematch of the AFC wildcard game from last year. Remember that?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old Phil Rivers
back
last year. All right. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll answer your fantasy football questions from the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. We'll give away some Domino's pizza and continue with our fantasy football start sits from the rest of the games on the Week 11 NFL slate. This is the Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza, and you're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour two of The Fantasy Show kicks off right now, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good morning, everybody. NFL Week 11. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. You can get us on Twitter. Give us a follow at AndyMC81, at SNSAli, at The Fantasy Show. By the way, the double verified Andy McNamara and Show Ali.
There you go.
Two check marks on this show. How about that?
I'd forgotten about that, actually.
Right? You did not forget about it. Every morning you wake up, you look, you're like, still there. Give the phone a little kiss, like, mwah.
Thank God. They didn't take it away. Thank goodness.
Oh, our technical director, Josh Santos, is like, when do I get my blue check mark? When you earn it, Santos.
which it will be.
Josh works very hard. Josh deserves it. It's the blue check mark. It's like now whenever we write on Twitter, it seems to matter more than just the general person show, right? If someone who does not have a blue check mark writes it, don't you just look? You're like, does it really even, did it even happen?
So that's what you've been thinking of me. That's what you've been thinking of all my tweets until now.
Exactly. Now, anything you tweet, I'm like, that guy knows what he's talking about because he's got the blue check.
All right.
It's all good. Okay. We'll continue with our fantasy football start sits for every single game that remains on the slate that we haven't covered yet. Sure, let's get to the people's text line. It's time.
And now, your fantasy questions on the people's text line.
There you go. So, again, you can text us at 590-590. Take as many questions as we can right now for the next 10 minutes or so. And if we don't get to your message, we will answer every single one before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. So you can text those in right now, 590-590. And, of course, I wanted to mention this right off the top here, Andy. We're giving away some Domino's pizza. Thanks to the Patriots winning over the Browns and the Falcons. I'm in a good mood, so I've stolen some pizza vouchers from Andy. And if you can, he didn't notice until now, so I'm giving them away. And if you text me the answer to this question at 590-590 as well, the name of the player who led the Patriots in receiving yards in both wins over the Browns in week 10 and this week's win on Thursday Night Football over the Falcons in Atlanta. One guy led the team in receiving yards in both games. Text me that guy's name at 590-590. You'll win some Domino's pizza. I'll pick someone at random. But let's get to our text messages here, Andy. I just want to say Gordon Bracebridge starts us off by saying, the saying is the unstoppable force versus the immovable object.
Yes.
There you go.
Hulk Hogan versus Andre. I knew I got it mixed up. That's what I was pulling from, the Gorilla Monsoon WrestleMania 3, the unstoppable force versus the irresistible odds. That's right.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for Gord helping us out with that. You said irresistible, and I'm like, that sounds wrong, but I don't remember what it is.
I still think it's irresistible. You know what? Say the question. I'm gonna look that up.
All right. I think Gord is right, but okay, you look that up. Let's start with one from Juan in Thornhill, half point PPR. Two questions. He wants to know Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins at quarterback.
I'm going to say Russell Wilson still, show. Like, I know it's against Green Bay. I know Kirk Cousins, it's at home. But, man, like, I just don't want to bet against Russell Wilson 2 weeks in a row. After the week before, coming off that finger in frigid Green Bay. Like, that made a whole lot of sense not to play him. I'm not going to bet against him. Are you?
Yeah,
I'd rather take the chance with Wilson.
Yeah, Cousins has been up and down this season as well. They're playing the Packers, which I know those games in the divisional games always get kind of wacky, right? So it's possible he like plays very well, but I think I'd rather bet on Wilson than Kirk. And then the other question from Juan is he needs a flex between James Robinson and Jeff Wilson Jr. I think James Robinson is expected to play with that foot / heel injury, so he is probably going to be active. So he wants to know Robinson or Jeff Wilson Jr. with Elijah Mitchell on the mend, it seems.
By the way, I knew it. The quote from WrestleMania 3 Gorilla Monsoon, I looked it up, was Gorilla Monsoon said the irresistible force, which was Hulk Hogan, versus the immovable object, which was Andre.
Okay. That's a wrestling thing. The actual
of course
phrase,
it's a wrestling
the,
thing.
The actual
what,
phrase
what
is, what,
you
is, what
to
Gord, is what Gord said, though.
Well, to me, that's the only phrase. If Gorilla Monsoon said it.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with Gorilla. Come on. All right. What was the question again? I lost track.
James Robinson or Jeff Wilson Jr.?
Oh, James Robinson. James Robinson, 100%.
All right. Let's go with... Forget the question. My goodness. All right. Gosh. Al from Uxbridge. He says, love the show. Never miss it. Thank you, Al. Thank you for listening. He says, I need a flex. Half point PPR. Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins?
Oh, boy. It's still Jamar Chase's world. Do we like Brandon Ayuk? We have last week against the Rams, not as much. Versus Jacksonville, who's actually the secondary has been actually much better. Like the pass defense has been better. I know
it has. Yeah.
They've given up the ninth most fantasy points overall, but recently it's been better. I'm still going to say a slight edge to Ayuk. Like I think from what your expectation should be from either of these guys, as far as floors and ceilings, pretty similar. Maybe T. Higgins has given you the higher floor lately with sort of those low teens. Lately, I'm going to still say Ayuk in this one, but I wouldn't hate either play.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair. I'll go Higgins here just because I think Higgins sees just an insane amount of work in the passing game. Burrow throws the ball a lot, and so there is room for both Chase and Higgins to eat in this offense, and I really do think that. I really like Higgins' play this week, so I'll go Higgins there. Jordan in Rexdale. Hey, guys, on a bit of a slide, I need to right the ship. Need to sit one of these guys in a full-point PPR league. He has four running backs here, okay, and he needs to sit one of these four guys in a full PPR league. Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, Ezekiel Elliott, and AJ Dillon.
How do you want to slide with those running backs?
I know, right?
How do you want to slide? Those are all tremendous. Is there, I guess there wouldn't be a way to start all of them.
No, I don't think so, right?
Well, you want AJ Dillon for sure with Aaron Jones out. DeAndre Swift is going to get a ton of work today. Like, I'm leaning towards, I guess, DeAndre Swift, but I think he's going to get a lot of work. Do I want to sit Zeke or Eckler? Like, I don't. I think maybe the odd man out might be DeAndre Swift show, just based on the offense. Oh, jeez. I'll say DeAndre Swift, but I think either way you're going to be fine. Like, it's more so that it's not that I don't really like DeAndre Swift. I'd probably answer in favor of Swift in 99% of the questions today.
Right.
But out of those choices, like, who else are you going to bench? I think it's got to be Swift.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Like, I'm going to say Ezekiel Elliott, which sounds insane, right? That sounds like an insane thing to say to bench Ezekiel
against
Elliott.
The Chiefs.
But again, I feel like this could be a game where Dak Prescott just is hurling the ball down the field, down after down, right? I know no Amari Cooper. We'll talk about that when we get to this game. So maybe that changes people's minds a little bit, but I honestly think this could be a game where Dak Prescott throws the ball like 30 to 40 times, essentially, right? So
yeah.
I think you're right. In any question, you're not benching literally any of these guys, but
no.
I mean, I don't think you can start four running backs in the league. So that's a good one. That's actually a pretty tough one because, I mean, maybe he's on a slide because he spent like all four of his picks on guys like this, essentially, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, also, Dylan, you probably got pretty cheaply, so maybe he went Eckler, like Swift, Zeke, Eckler, and then Swift in the fourth round, and he has like really terrible wide receivers, perhaps. Who knows? But
that's got to be it.
Let's keep going here. Actually, you know, let's go to Twitter here for a second. We got some questions on Twitter as well. Fazl wants to know, Miles Sanders, he doesn't say the format, but Miles Sanders, Devontae Smith, or Deontay Foreman?
Sanders, like we talked about earlier, no, I'm not touching any of those Eagles running backs. I'm not touching any. Sanders, Freeman, or Foreman?
It was Sanders, Devontae Foreman, or Devonta Smith.
Oh, Devonta Smith. Okay. You know what? I'd go Smith. I understand the Foreman question. I'm not ready to go there yet.
Yeah, same. I think that's where I'm at, too. Let's go to just pulling up this next one here, Andy. The next Twitter question was from Paul, and Paul wants to know, he needs two from this group in a non-PPR league, so a standard league. Two from this group, T. Higgins, Emmanuel Sanders, Devontae Smith again, and DJ Moore. So two from this group.
I'm cutting Moore. I'll say Higgins. Read me the names again. We're taking out Moore.
Okay, so we're taking out Moore. So two from Higgins, Sanders, and Devontae Smith.
I think you take out Sanders. Sanders and Moore cut. Well, like, don't cut, but, you know, don't play.
So Higgins and who, sorry?
Higgins and
Devonta
and
Smith.
Sanders and Devonta Smith will play, right. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I would probably go with those two as well. Yeah, DJ Moore this week, if at all possible.
I'm not trusting it.
It's not his fault again, right? Good Will Hunting.
No.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Your fault.
I think you just gotta, no. You just gotta.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, I know you have. I can't believe you've seen Draft Day a million times and you haven't seen Good Will Hunting.
Haven't seen it. I feel it's too dated now.
How dare you?
Good.
Let's move on.
I'm going to watch Draft Day later on today. Maybe again.
After the Lions beat the Browns?
You stop that.
After Tim Boyle leads the Lions to victory over Baker Mayfield? Okay.
No.
We'll move on.
Okay.
Eddie from Angus. Standard scoring. Another big week, boys. Let's go in the flex. Brandon Ayuk, Darrell Williams, or Saquon Barkley? Standard scoring.
Well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be back, show. So looking at that and saying, well, okay, what does that mean for Darrell Williams? Do I want Barkley? Not really. So I think we have our answer.
So you're going to go, I just lost the text here. So you're going to go Brandon Ayuk.
Yes. I just don't, like, Saquon Barkley, it's coming out of the bye. He should play. It's an ankle. Like, He's questionable. I got to, again, see Saquon Barkley do something before I'm comfortable putting in my lineup.
Yeah, the injuries, I mean, it's tough. It's tough because I really like Saquon Barkley. It's just the injuries have taken their toll on him a little bit. I mean, the man has tree trunks for legs, and he's still getting
doesn't
injured
matter.
Like this, right? Yeah, it doesn't really matter right now.
Let's
do one more, and then we'll answer the rest of these questions off the air again, 590-590, before we get to all the kickoffs starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. My goodness, that's really late. We'll go with this one. Nick in Toronto. Should I go with Justin Herbert, or Derek Carr? Also, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire too risky?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is too risky, to answer your question first. Justin Herbert, ooh, I love the guy, but versus Pittsburgh, that defense is nasty. Derek Carr, I know they got just decimated last week, but Cincinnati's defense, while has been much better than expected, can certainly be thrown on, and especially if you have to play catch-up with their high-octane offense, I think you go Derek Carr this week.
Ooh, okay, all right, I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so Derek Carr. And you're passing on CEH this week, right?
You can't. It's first game back in forever. What are you really expecting? If he does play, it's going to be... I think it's going to be enough to neuter both him and Darrell Williams. I think you start avoiding that Kansas City backfield again.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I think we'll have to wait and see on that. All right, that does it for our text questions, at least on the air. Don't worry, if you did text us your questions, again, we will get to all of them before kickoff goes. So send in, we're on for another 45 minutes, so if you want to send in your questions for the next 45 minutes or so, text us at 590-590, and again, we will answer all of them before kickoff goes later on this afternoon.
All right, let's get back to our Week 11 fantasy football starts and sits for every single game. We've gone through a bunch already. Now, the main event, Lions versus Browns. Yeah, who's ready? The Lake Erie Bowl. Ooh, they actually have show because the Lions and Browns played each other for like almost every preseason for like decades,
okay,
for real.
Right.
So they called it the Battle of the Barge, and they had a preseason actual trophy, which is currently in Berea, Ohio at the headquarters. I've actually seen it. It is a ugly, like it's not bronze, it's like brass, like ship, like a Great Lakes, like shipping ship.
Okay.
It is called the Barge, and they call it the Battle of the Barge, and the winner of the preseason game each year when they played would get that awful-looking trophy.
Great.
And it resides in Cleveland right now. This is going to be a pretty bad football game to watch if you're not invested as a fan in this game. Let's start with the Lions show. And Tim Boyle is in at quarterback. He's leapfrogged David Blau. Tim Boyle said, by the way, they asked him, how are you preparing for your first NFL start? He said he's going to be meditating.
Oh, all right.
So
hey, don't knock it until meditate. Don't knock it, Andy, until you tried it.
You know, he said he's going to meditate. He's going to talk to his family. He said, and it's football. I've been playing football since 6 years old. It's like, that's fair, Tim. However, I have a feeling that's maybe the same complacent attitude you took during your college days where you threw for 12 touchdowns and 26 interceptions and somehow made it to an NFL team. 12 touchdowns and 26 interceptions, and you're getting an NFL salary. What a country.
Yeah.
USA. Throw, kids, pick up a football. Throw. You can throw double the amounts of interceptions to touchdowns and still get an NFL contract if you're 6'4".
Yeah, look, we talked about this before.
Totally.
If you could get reincarnated in another life and become like a middle-inning lefty reliever or a backup quarterback, you're set. You're set for life if you're in that role.
Yeah.
So, okay, parents, make your kids, like, if they're left-handed, make them throw footballs or baseballs. If you want, that's what you want at this point.
Baseballs and footballs, man. Oh, just throw it out there. Make some coin. I think really show... From what Dan Campbell, he took over offensive play calling from Anthony Lynn the other week, last week. And what he did was he just ran the football, like I said earlier, like it's 1950, where the forward pass was just a rumor. And it's like, well, we're going to run the ball. And they ran for over 200 yards against the Steelers, who have a really good defense. And I don't see why they wouldn't do it again. I think it is going to be a big day for DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, who's supposed to be returning. I think you can play one or both, and just based on volume, they're going to be serviceable fantasy pieces. I'm not touching any other Detroit Lion.
Yeah, even T.J. Hockenson, you might want to bench him until we see how this Tim Boyle thing works out. I feel he probably is. If you have to he is a start because he's T.J. Hockenson, and you know
game
he's
zero.
But at the same time, yeah, like it's a very volatile thing right now with how the quarterback play has been going in Detroit. Yeah, I think you're right. It's pretty much DeAndre. Like no Khalif Raymond, no Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah, you start running backs and you move on. And you know what? From the Brown side of things, Andy, I dare say it's really just and Nick Chubb is active. In case you're curious, Nick Chubb will play today. So you start Nick Chubb. I think Kareem Hunt is still out, right? That's correct.
He is.
Yeah. Okay.
He should be out till after the Browns bye week in week 13. So week 14 is the sort of long-term projection for his return.
And that's essentially like, in some leagues, it's the beginning of the playoffs or the week before the playoffs, right?
So, back, yeah.
So we'll have to monitor that in case if you want to play him like right out of the bye. But this week, you're starting Nick Chubb. He is healthy, and he's going to be getting a ton of carries against an abysmal Lions rush defense. It's not like you need us to tell you to start Nick Chubb if he's healthy or not. But, outside of that, do you really feel comfortable starting Jarvis Landry with the skeleton of Baker Mayfield on the field? I don't think so.
No, I think you go Nick Chubb for sure. RB1, if he's healthy, he's shown he can come right back from injury in the past, or in this case, COVID, and hit the ground running. I think you go Nick Chubb, RB1. And D'Ernest Johnson has a flex, especially if you're in some bye week trouble with the Broncos and Rams out. D'Ernest Johnson has proven that with Nick Chubb on the field, he can be serviceable. And especially if you're working his way back, maybe gets a little bit more work in that run game. So I think D'Ernest Johnson is the other play as a lower end flex. And a cheap DraftKings option as well. So I think those are really the two options. Really, anyone who's going to catch the football or throw the football in this Lions-Browns game today, you probably don't want on your fantasy team right now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think if you're in a pinch, I guess Jarvis Landry in a full PPR format. But by and large, yeah, no one else from this Cleveland team.
I wouldn't be. Yeah, I think you just sit anyone who catches the football. Let's go 49ers versus Jaguars. And we've had a few Brandon IU questions.
We have, actually.
You know, which is fine. 49ers still kind of weird. Like the Jimmy, I've got a few Jimmy Garoppolo questions as well via Twitter show, and I don't dislike Jimmy Garoppolo the way he's played lately, but there is always the very, very real possibility where he throws the ball 9 times, and that's it, right? Like he threw the ball only 19 times last week against the Rams. The two previous weeks, 40 times, 28 times. And was looking like maybe he's borderline fantasy relevant. We talked about how the Jags pass defense has come on strong the last couple of weeks. And it's if you look at the overall number, it's still not good, but lately it is. So I think you go for Jimmy G, I don't know. Like I'd rather take the chance with Trevor Lawrence with the garbage time option. And you're obviously playing George Kittle as the top guy.
Yeah, George Kittle is back in a big way, it seems, right? Now he gets the Jags. And again, I know the Jags have been stingy on defense, like more than I think you would imagine for one of the worst teams in the NFL. This defense has been okay, right? They've been okay. So, but either way, now that Kittle is back, you start him. You're starting Deebo Samuel. I think you can get away with starting Jeff Wilson, especially if Mitchell is out. So we'll have to monitor that right up until game time. But if he is out, Jeff Wilson gets a big bump, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. He's doubtful, Eli Mitchell.
He's doubtful.
The D, not the Q.
Right.
The D.
So then
doubtful.
If that's the case, then yeah, I think you operate as though Jeff Wilson is the lead back, and you would imagine Kyle Shanahan is going to run the ball early and often, right? So if that's the case, so yeah, JWJ gets the bump, and again, you're starting everyone else like Deebo and Kittle. I don't know. Ayuk, I think we all tabbed this as a breakout season. You got to wait a little while on that before you can be, you can go full steam ahead on that, I would imagine.
Especially with Kittle back.
Yeah.
And watch this be Trey Sermon 200-yard day two.
I know.
Just wait. God. Just wait. Because Kyle Shanahan hates your fantasy team too, folks. we look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, James Robinson back. He's questionable. Could he be limited? I guess. Are you going to play him? Absolutely. You got to get him in. And this Jamal Agnew guy show. For Jacksonville, like, I don't know, he's really come on as a go-to for Trevor Lawrence, replacing Marvin Jones, who was that, like I mentioned earlier in the year, who that first half of the season was going to be the safety valve for Trevor Lawrence. He's kind of replaced him. I like Jamal Agnew. I like James Robinson, and I'm liking Hey Dan Arnold.
Yeah, look, I said it last week, right? Dan Arnold was one of my tight ends in the start spot. He's paid off very nice.
Yeah,
he is another TE1 week, and he's leading the team in targets, right? Which is kind of crazy, right? He has become Trevor Lawrence's favorite target. So you like Dan Arnold. has to be rostered. Okay, if he is sitting as a free agent in your league and you can go pick him up, you just go get him. Just go. I don't know. I don't really care who your other tight ends are at this point. If it's not Travis Kelce or Darren Waller, go pick up Dan Arnold and keep him on the bench, because I think he probably, you know, it might be a down week this week because the 49ers defense just dismantled Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. Jeez. But at the same time, like, they again, and the 49ers are probably going to be a pretty nasty to Trevor Lawrence today. But at the same point, over the course of the entire season, I do like Dan Arnold going forward. He clearly has earned the trust of the number one overall draft pick, Trevor Lawrence.
He's only owned in 42% of Yahoo.
Yeah, he's probably available.
You want to get yourself some Dan Arnold. That's the type of player you pick up for that tight end spot who could help guide you into the playoffs. Or I'm not saying he's going to win you a championship, but if you can add stability at the tight end spot, if you've been a streamer, you're getting underperformance, that's a guy you want. Look, both my leagues I'm in, he's been taken, so I can't get in on that. But I think you guys all should. And yeah, I think you're right. Trevor Lawrence could be in for a rough day, but it could also be one of those situations where he's got like 11 fantasy points going into the fourth quarter and just get some garbage stuff late.
It's also possible, yes.
You know, so, all right. So let's move on from that one. We have Texans versus the Titans. And for the Texans show, like, I don't want anybody. I know we say it I don't want anybody.
Yeah, every week.
Every week, like, okay. I mean, you're like, Tyrod Taylor's legs. Like, okay, go for it. Like, I'd rather Cam Newton. Than Tyrod Taylor. That's, you know, that's me. He has in the past put up some okay fantasy numbers sometimes. Am I going to bank on that versus the surging Tennessee Titans? I am not. Like Brandon Cooks? I don't know.
Like, probably, yeah.
Sure?
Yeah, right.
I guess you do it.
You know, WR2, maybe even WR3 from Brandon Cooks and literally nobody else, I would say.
Try not to do it. Now, here, folks, is the play for me. I put him in my waiver wire article. I think this is the guy who really pops. And he was owned on Tuesday's show in 1% of Yahoo leagues, 99% availability. Now he's up to being rostered in 18%. Marcus Johnson of the Tennessee Titans, with Julio Jones unavailable. Marcus Johnson is the guy you want to be playing against this Houston Texans team, because we know it's going right back to a committee in the backfield, A.J. Brown, who's going to get double-teamed, and then everybody else is open. Well, the tight end, Dr. Firkser, has not done anything. Marcus Johnson last week, 6 targets, 5 catches, 100 yards. And show, they want, from the coaching staff, from reporters, the word is they want to get Marcus Johnson more involved in that offense. I think Marcus Johnson is a great play this week, especially if you're on bye and you're without a couple of those Rams or Broncos receivers. You need a guy. Certainly, I think Marcus Johnson has a high-end flex with some WR2 upside. I'm very bullish on him this week.
Sure, yeah. 5 or more targets in each of the last 3 games in which Julio Jones did not play, right? And, of course, he's not playing today. So, and then, of course, he also gets the Houston Texans, right? So I think, I don't mind that one. You're certainly starting A.J. Brown. You're certainly starting Ryan Tannehill, I would imagine, right? I think the season has been a little topsy-turvy for Tannehill specifically, but I think against the Texans you can start him. And the running back situation, I know we got a Foreman question earlier. I don't know. I guess a flex play for Foreman, but I don't love it. It's not the sexiest play, and I don't know how attractive it is. And they're gonna run the ball. They absolutely will. But at the same time, again, I don't know. I'd prefer to stay away from this if at all possible. It feels like they're both, like, both him and AP are both like break glass in case of emergency situations, in case like Melvin Gordon or Darrell Henderson or Javonte Williams are on bye, or if you're like you've been hit by the injury bug, perhaps.
Well, and you're throwing in Jeremy McNichols.
Well, he's out today
as well.
He's out.
Oh, he's out. Okay, yeah. So you're still looking. Like, doesn't this just scream of, like, Devontae Foreman getting 12 carries, but AP getting, like, 9
and a touchdown
averaging
at the one-yard line, yeah.
Yeah, and he gets it. Like, that just seems sort of what we're looking at with it. I don't know. Like, again, could you do it? I guess. It's not. I'm much more excited about the Marcus Johnson possibility, busting open there. That's more of what I'm interested in at that point. Okay, let's take the break. We'll come back. We'll roll through the rest of our fantasy football start sits. We'll get to our danger zone picks as well as we continue with the fantasy show delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
We are back. Fantasy Show. Week 11 in the NFL across the Sportsnet Radio Network. And folks, we are delivered by Domino's Pizza. Perfect football food for Sunday, right? You can get unlimited large two-topping pizzas for just $10.99 each. You get two or more, as many as you want, for just $10.99 each. But you can check out the side dishes, the desserts, carryout, delivery. Make it a football Sunday. Domino's.ca. That's Domino's.ca. Danger Zone picks coming up soon. But, show, we got some other games to roll through with our fantasy football start sits. You can get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. We go to Packers-Vikings, and we talked about this one a little bit earlier. Now, Aaron Rodgers, show, busted toe. He's going to play, but it's something they said that could hamper him and his mobility for the rest of the season, which is concerning.
That is concerning, I think, because he is Aaron Rodgers, and he may not be the smartest guy off the field, but on the field, he is a magician. So you pretty much have to start him, I would imagine, right? And the Vikings defense has been up and down. I mean, you know, you can say that about every team this year. But at the same time, yeah, I think you're starting Aaron Rodgers and expect or hope for like a, you know, a 17 to 20 point performance. And if you get more than that, then, you know, bully for you.
Yeah, and Davante Adams, you know, obviously he's just going to be force-fed the football. The tight end sign since Robert Tonyan, you know, Mercedes Lewis, no.
Tonyan is done, remember? Tonyan, remember, he's done for the year, ACL tear.
I know. I said without Tonyan.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, without Tonyan, that's where you look. Mercedes Lewis, no. He's on there more for blocking. And then after that, you know, this is why that draft from a couple years ago where they took Jordan Love really bothered me. Yeah. I almost swore. Really bothered me if you're a Green Bay Packers, because you wasted it on Jordan Love, who's, I don't think, the guy. And you got a tight end, Josiah DeGuara, who's third now on the depth chart. Show your draft guy, Dominique Daphne. You picking up some Daphne shares at your tight end spot?
No. Pass.
You sure? He's available. Let me think. He's 100% available.
Let me think about it again. No. Pass.
No, you're right. Aaron Jones also out. So I'm thinking it this way. Nice and simple for you folks for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, even with the toe, Davante Adams, and A.J. Dillon, and avoid everything else.
Yeah, agreed. That's it. That's literally it. Those three players. I really do like A.J. Dillon today, actually. I think...
me too.
If I don't know what the odds are on like an anytime touchdown for A.J. Dillon, but I'm taking it. I don't know what it is, but I'm taking it.
He's been playing well.
And then on the Viking side of things, I mean, again, you don't need us to tell you to start Cook, Jefferson, or Thielen. Tyler Conklin, yeah, he's quietly, I think he was very efficient last week, which I don't know if you can expect every week, right? Three catches on five targets, two touchdowns, just 11 yards. So I don't know, like, that's probably not going to be the case in most weeks, but I think he's there enough. Again, tight end, super thin, you could probably get away with starting Conklin, but just remember the Packers defense is relatively stingy. So just, you know, temper your expectations with Conklin. And we talked about Kirk already. You can start him. He's startable, but I don't think you should be expecting anything more than like a QB2 finish.
Yeah, high QB2. Yeah. QB2. Maybe in a bye, you know, you're doing it. Tyler Conklin, show, I've been on this guy since week six. I was advocating for people to pick him up since then. And you mentioned the 11 yards and two touchdowns. That is obviously not sustainable. Speaking of Robert Tonyan before, those are sort of Tonyan-esque numbers.
Yeah.
But what stood out to me more was the 3 weeks prior, where he did not have a touchdown and was still getting between 5 to 7 targets, four or five catches, and the yardage was keeping him relevant in that low double-digit play where, again, if you're looking at a streaming tight end at this time of the year, looking to pick somebody up, that's what you want. If you can get 10 fantasy points from a tight end you're picking up, you want that guy. That's as good as it's going to get for you. And Tyler Conklin's been that guy. So I think he doesn't need to. He's proven he doesn't need touchdowns to get you that, which I think is encouraging, because then if you add one in, then you're having a real nice fantasy day.
Yeah, I still think he's like the way I'm looking at Tyler Conklin probably for the rest of the year is that he's probably going to be a tight end two for me, with upside to be a tight end one every single week. But I you can't, like, you just don't count on it. Let's put it that way.
No, I think he's definitely a serviceable piece if you took that strategy of streaming tight ends, which I always advocate not to do. But if you did, then that's, you know, that's kind of the world you're living in.
You're basically streaming tight ends if you just didn't draft Travis Kelce. Even Darren Waller has been, like, not disappointing, but, I mean, he's, you know, he was ill and he was injured, and then Kittle missed a large chunk of the season. So, again, like, if you and TJ Hockenson with the zero last week and a lot of really not barely a startable player this week because this year because of the tight ends, quarterback play, pardon me, in Detroit. So it's just, you know what, if you didn't draft Travis Kelce, essentially, you're streaming tight ends probably every week.
That's it. That's it, folks. And although we knew this, I thought it was a certainty. Apparently, there was a chance Jared Goff could play for the Lions today. He is officially ruled out.
Yeah.
But I thought we are kind of already knew that, but, you know, just in case. Ravens versus Bears. So Lamar Jackson, again, 50-50 chance said he'll play or not, which that's one you got to track because your options vary so drastically. Marquise Brown also out. If he goes in, it's Tyler Huntley, who has appeared in four games in 2 years. Like, if Lamar doesn't play, I think you go Devonta Freeman for sure. Latavius Murray is questionable, could play. First game back, I think Freeman is the smart play there. I don't want to look at any real pass catchers. You're going to play Mark Andrews no matter what because you're not going to have a better option. You're just not. But otherwise, show that's a big difference. I feel, too, if Lamar Jackson does suit up, even though he has missed a couple of days this week because of an illness, non-COVID related, you're going to play him no matter what.
Yeah, you can't. There's no way you can. If you bench Lamar Jackson, good for you, because you must have some massive cojones, because I couldn't do it. Honestly, I couldn't do it. I don't think I could get away with that. I don't mind the Bateman play as a flex because he is the de facto number one wide receiver, but it could just mean targets are funneled to Mark Andrews. So again, it's a little volatile with the passing game if Lamar is out. If he is, if he does play, I think I would get away with starting Bateman, but that's probably it. And don't forget, the Bears defense, leaky secondary as of late, and they just lost Khalil Mack for the rest of the season. He is out for the rest of the season with, I think it was like a foot injury or something. He had surgery, so he's done for the year, not just the three games. So I think the Bears defense, not exactly the stout unit or the same stout unit they once were. So just keep that in mind. On the Bears side of things, you know what? I think you can start Darnell Mooney as a flex play. I think Allen Robinson is doubtful. So, you know, in the absence of Allen Robinson, we talked about this before, but Cole Kmet, I don't mind as a streaming option this week. I think Justin Fields does look his way often, and David Montgomery is back, and he is dominating the carries once again.
He is, and, you know, Khalil Herbert had that nice run. I still think he's certainly you still want him on your team for now.
For sure.
You still want him as that depth guy, as that handcuff, because he really popped when Montgomery was out. But, yeah, Montgomery's taken back over. Mooney, WR2 numbers we could be looking at here, and certainly Cole Kmet, as you said. So that's Ravens-Bears. Let's go to Bengals.
Real quick, Andy. Justin Fields, where are you at on him as a streaming option?
Boy, I don't like it. Like, I know he's shown improvement against Baltimore. I would try to avoid it, Joe.
Right.
I would.
Fair enough. I
hope he keeps improving. I think he's a heck of a talent. I think he's in a bad situation in Chicago. But do I want to put him against the Ravens defense? Which isn't, you know, it's certainly gettable. Like, it's not like a force like it was a few years ago. But I'm still a little skittish. I'd rather avoid it if I could.
Yeah, that's fair. I was just curious. I think if you're in a 2QB league, I think you can start Justin Fields. But if you're like in a single QB league, which I'm sure most people are, I think you probably pass on him. I was just curious. If things get even remotely better in Chicago next season, I don't mind Justin Fields as he might be drafted a little higher next year. Let's put it that way.
I think so. Let's say this. I'd rather play him over Tim Boyle or Tyler Huntley if he plays in Baltimore.
And Baker Mayfield, probably.
You know what? Today I probably would.
Yeah.
I probably would, to be honest with you. Poor broken Baker. Ugh.
I'm watching all a commercial on TV where he's like pouring coffee or something. It's like, all right, sorry, Baker.
Oh, progressive commercial. They're great commercials. I'm watching that too. There's my guy.
There you go.
There he is. I got too much Baker Mayfield stuff for him to not be good.
Yeah.
Come on, Bake.
You're invested too heavily.
Way too heavily. Way too heavily. Bengals, Raiders. Raiders embarrassed. Embarrassed last week by the Chiefs. I think they put together a much more formidable showing that we've seen for the most part throughout this year. Could be a fun little shootout here, show between, because the Bengals, we know, can score at will. Have they had their ups and downs this season? Absolutely. But they can obviously shoot it out with Ja'Marr Chase, with T. Higgins, with Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow. You can start any of those guys. For the Raiders, my boy, hey, Hunter Renfrow, all of a sudden pretty cool. Who's been pounding the Hunter Renfrow drum since like week two, show? This
me,
guy.
Me. Oh, no. You. Oh, okay.
Me. Renfrow. Yeah. I think Renfrow is a tremendous play, as is Darren Waller. The running backs, yeah, I guess we go Josh Jacobs.
Look, I'll say this on the Bengals. I think you can start T. Higgins. If you have both, you don't want to start both if you have a single, like if you have both on your single fantasy team. But if you have T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase, I think you can start either of them, right? Because
yeah.
I think they do see a decent amount of the target share. You're obviously starting Burrow and Mixon. Yeah, and Josh Jacobs, just to wrap up on the Raiders, again, like I said off the top of the show, he just did not benefit because the game script was so heavily against the Raiders last week. But I'll just say this. If you're worried about it at all, of all the touches last week, there were 20 total touches, carries and targets, that went to running backs last week, right? 20. 12 of those went to Josh Jacobs, even in a massive blowout, right? Mm. So I think that just says that he is healthy and they trust him with the ball. He even sees more work in the passing game, even compared to Kenyon Drake, right? Kenyon Drake only saw like two passes in the passing game or something like that. So I think if he's healthy, I think you can get away with playing him, and the Bengals' rush defense is not so great. So I do like Josh Jacobs as a start. It might be an RB2 start, but a start nonetheless.
I agree. Let's go Cardinals versus Seahawks. A bird battle here on NFL Network, saying that even though it was trending towards Kyler Murray not playing and being a game time decision, it's looking like 99.9% that he's not going to play. Yeah. Colt McCoy at this point looks like he'll get the start, but he had a pectoral injury. So it could be Stone Cold Chris Strebler time show.
Great.
Stone Cold, break the glass. Well, here comes Strev.
And no DeAndre Hopkins. Oof. So the options for Streveler or McCoy, whoever ends up getting the start, will be limited. So I think if that is the case, I think I probably only like James Conner and like maybe Christian Kirk as a flex play.
Yeah, James Conner's just touchdown machine.
Yeah, right.
James Conner. And yeah, like Christian Kirk has played very well, no matter who's a quarterback. It seems, right?
True,
in PPR specifically, and no D-hop. Kirk, yeah, I don't care really who's in there. You'd prefer McCoy just because Streveler's still, when it comes to NFL side, a little too inconsistent. At least you know McCoy can get you the ball.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to be, he's going to get you the football. So I still think, yeah, Christian Kirk kind of as a flex or WR3 with WR2 upside is interesting. For the Seahawks, Chris Carson, of course, gone. Rashad Penny back. It's him and Alex Collins, but I'm not ready to put Penny in this week just because of the long layoff show. Maybe he gets worked in. You still have Travis Homer and DJ Dallas floating around. This is just a little – I want some clarity before I'm looking too much into the Seattle backfield, if we're ever going to get that clarity.
Yeah, we may not. It may end up being a running back committee for the rest of the season, which is just fantasy poison, like we've said before. Yeah. But at the same time, we'll have to see, right? We'll have to see if Alex Collins does manage to eke out more yardage, or if Penny or like you said, DJ, do end up doing that. Yeah, you're obviously starting DK Metcalf. You're probably starting Tyler Lockett, no matter what, as well. I know even in a thin tight end pool, you might be considering starting Gerald Everett, but he caught 8 targets for 63 yards. It could be more encouraging, but I have a feeling if Russell Wilson is more healthy, he's going to be throwing the ball downfield more to guys like Metcalf and Lockett. So again, he's definitely startable. I would just probably pass on him this week.
Yeah, I would as well. Okay, Cowboys Chiefs. Oh, I hope this is a fun one. Show that it seems like this year, whenever something looks like it's going to be a shootout, it just isn't.
17-10.
I really hope. Oh, God, no. I hope there's the over-under, actually, it's come down. Was the other day at 56.5. It's come down a full point, 55.5. Right. Kansas City, 2.5-point favorites. I'm taking the Cowboys to win outright, personally. Mm-hmm. I think that's a straight-up win. Mm-hmm. Chiefs erupted their offense back out of that three-game fog, that funk. They're out of it. Or are they? The Cowboys' defense show has not been as sieve-like as we might think. They're right around 15-16 when it comes to total yards allowed per game on average, whereas Kansas City is like third or fourth most allowed. I think this is a shootout. Amari Cooper is out. So Michael Gallup's value, I think, takes a big bump up now that he's back from injury.
Yeah, some people are saying if he's back, it might eat into Schultz shares, and maybe it will eventually. But again, like you said, with no Cooper on the COVID IL, he probably is. I think he has to miss the Thanksgiving game next week, too. So I think for these next couple of games this week and then on Thursday, I think you have to start Michael Gallup. So, yeah, CeeDee Lamb, Gallup, Schultz, Zeke, and Dak all starts, right? You have to start virtually all of them. And on the mm-hmm. Chiefs side of things, I mean, Mahomes and Mahomes, Hill, and Travis Kelce are starting all of them. The real conversation about who you like shouldn't start really is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think we answered this question on a text question earlier. I think I'm just at the point where I want to see him just do it first, right? And again, like you said, yeah. The Cowboys defense isn't like terrible. So maybe you just stay away from CEH this week and you work him in next week once he's back and like fully back from injury.
I think that's the way you have to do it. All right, let's go Steelers, Chargers. Ben Roethlisberger is back. Is that going to really make your fantasy Sunday? Probably not.
It's probably going to make it a little better for guys like Deontay and probably Najee Harris. Probably the beneficiary of this the most is probably Pat Freiermuth, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The connection they had, that was super disappointing that he was out the previous week. That meathead Mason Rudolph is out, so that's good. He's he's not there. What a dud. Ben Roethlisberger back in. I'll say, yeah, Deontay Johnson, Freiermuth for sure, and obviously Najee Harris.
Yeah, exactly. You're starting those guys anyways, right?
Chargers-wise, now we had a question of, now, in a lot of cases, am I still going to play Justin Herbert? Yes, he's super talented and can do a lot of things, but there was the question of Derek Carr versus Justin Herbert earlier, and based on matchup, personally, show, I'm going to go Derek Carr in that scenario. That Pittsburgh defense can be absolutely nasty, and they got worn down and they tied versus the Detroit Lions last week, but I think Herbert, you start, there are other options above him, but you know, other than that, Eckler for sure, and still Keenan Allen.
Yeah, Keenan Allen. And I said this to you during the week, but Mike Williams from weeks 1 through 5 was the second best wide receiver in fantasy football. From weeks 5 through 10, he was like the 80th best wide receiver in fantasy football. Boy. It has been awful, awful sliding for Mike Williams. He's probably still a flex play because, I mean, he's still the next guy in that offense, right? So, again, flex, but again, against the Steelers defense, they have been good virtually all season. So I think you just have lowered expectations for everyone. I think you can still expect an RB1 finish from Eckler because he sees a lot of work in the passing game as well. But, I mean, everyone else gets the downgrade. And, you know, I've used the term temper expectations a lot this week. Temper expectations for Justin Herbert and perhaps the Chargers offense overall.
4 straight games for Mike Williams of single-digit fantasy.
Ooh, scary.
Oof. 4 in a row.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeesh. Very bad. Very bad. All right, let's finish it off with the Giants versus the Buccaneers Monday Night Football. All right, folks. You know, I have people like, oh, what about the Buccaneers? How about if you're going to bet against Tom Brady having 2 bad games in a row, that's on you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. I don't care if he's 65 years old. I don't care. I think the Buccaneers, there. Doesn't this just feel like a statement game show against the Giants? Like, all right, we're going to make you remember why we're the Super Bowl champs. I think this is just a smash spot. Antonio Brown not going to play. Gronk is back. Evans, Godwin. You know, Godwin probably WR2 middle. Evans touchdown dependent, but he always seems to get those touchdowns.
Yeah, he really does. I think it's the usual suspects. It's none of the non-usual suspects, let's say, are guys I would start, right? Like Brate and Johnson, I think they stay on the bench. I think it's really just Brady, Fournette, Evans, and Godwin. And I mean, you don't need us to tell you to start them. It's just there are no, I don't think there are going to be any real hidden gems for the Buccaneers today. It's going to be the main dudes, I think.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right on that. And for the Giants, now, Kadarius Toney and Kenny Galladay are back, both first-time healthy in what seems like forever. Sterling Shepard is questionable. The problem becomes, show, what type of chemistry will they have with Daniel Jones, who hasn't been able to work consistently with either of them? I would think Toney I like a little bit better because Galladay just really hasn't gotten it going at all. But could this maybe be the day where I go back to Evan Ingram?
Ooh. Is it? Really?
I don't. Show, yeah, look at the numbers, right? Last 3 weeks, he's producing a bit. He's producing a bit. I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. I know Kyle Rudolph is still there. I don't want to do it, but show, maybe, yep, You know what? I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm going to say you can play Evan Engram this week, folks.
All right.
God help us all.
God help us.
Oh, but that's like Saquon Barkley and Devontae Booker are both banged up. I guess if you got Barkley, you're probably going to play him because what are your other options at this point? But yeah. I don't really love the play of either of those guys, especially against Tampa Bay's run defense, which we know is really good.
Yeah, and the pass defense has gotten healthier. So I think everyone gets the downgrade. Yeah, Barkley and RB2, Galladay, WR3 or a flex. Tony, probably a flex as well. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Not a lot of Giants in the starting lineups for a lot of people this week.
No. All right, let's wrap up the show, really, with the Danger Zone show. Let's get dangerous.
Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger's my middle name.
Danger Zone!
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
And so are we, Baker Mayfield. All right, my Danger Zone pick show is Marcus Johnson of the Tennessee Titans. I think in this game versus the Houston Texans, Marcus Johnson, the most fantasy points of any catcher of the football in that game. Marcus Johnson, most fantasy points of any receiver today in that game.
You want to tack on a format to that or just of any in any format?
Any format.
All right, I like it.
I'm all about Marcus Johnson.
I will go with a combo for my Danger Zone pick, Adam Trautman and Dan Arnold, the tight end, all tight end Danger Zone pick. Trautman and Arnold will both finish the week as top five tight ends in PPR leagues.
Oh, we're going fishing with the Trautman and hey, Dan Arnold.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's throw in the line, see what we reel in. All right, guys, that'll do it for the fantasy show. For Santos for show, I'm Andy. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. Enjoy the games this week. You've been listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.